Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. California's pursuit of offshore wind hasn't been as difficult as some East Coast states, but potential hiccups are emerging. Recently, the state has hit two snags, which in turn make it harder for California to reach its goal of developing 25 gigawatts of offshore wind by 2045. The questions out west come as the offshore wind industry continues to struggle on the East Coast, where rising project costs and supply chain issues have delayed and canceled projects. So today, Politico's Wes Vintaicher on how offshore wind troubles are appearing out west. It's Wednesday, March 13th.
Last week, two things that were unrelated to one another, but both significant for California's offshore wind ambitions took place. The first was a developer of a heavy lift terminal at a key port in Humboldt County for offshore wind announced that they were stepping back from negotiations with the harbor district there. They had had an exclusive right to negotiate to develop this terminal where these large turbines will be assembled and then held and then tugged out to the sea where they would be spinning. And they're giving up their exclusive right to negotiate over it. So that opens up to other developers. The other thing that happened was one of the large tribes in the area, the Yurok tribe, it's a federally recognized tribe, came out in opposition to all offshore wind, saying that the big turbines would affect their sacred territories in that area in the ocean, and they had some other concerns about the federal government. So two unrelated but significant things to one of the two key sites for California's offshore wind there on the north coast, and the other one is on the central coast.
Interesting. And these two developments obviously aren't a great sign for California's offshore wind ambitions, which are quite aggressive. And they're happening as the State Public Utility Commission put out a scaled back offshore wind plan, as you report. So what does this tell us about whether California's ambitious plans are even realistic at this point?
Yeah, California put out these ambitious goals several years ago to reach carbon neutrality and to go to a fully renewable electric grid by 2045. And at the time, they acknowledged that some of these goals might be ambitious or aspirational. But as we get closer to trying to make these things actually happen and these developers are hashing out all the nitty-gritty details, some of these aspirational goals are creating some confusion and some problems for them, where they're learning that if they can't take these things as certain, then how does that affect their planning? Crowley, the developer of the terminal in Humboldt, Crowley announced this a couple of weeks after the PUC put out a plan for offshore wind that is getting specific about when they think it needs to happen and what it will take for the grid to be able to handle that new power when it comes online. Because for the state to start developing offshore wind, particularly in a remote area like Humboldt County up north, all these other things need to happen. There needs to be transmission lines developed. This port terminal needs to be developed. And then the offshore wind project itself needs to go up. So the planners are trying to dig in on this stuff and make it happen. And as they do that, they're seeing that the overarching ambitions that have been announced are not looking so achievable. And so the Public Utilities Commission plan called for less offshore wind coming online a little bit later than the aspirational goals had put out there.
And developers more broadly, I mean, what are they saying? Are they getting nervous about potential misalignment in the state's actions not matching the promises?
Yeah. At a hearing recently, they said the state was sending mixed signals. If they're going to invest billions of dollars, they need to know what the state wants and when the state wants it.
So some uncertainty there. And do you think the issues that we're seeing kind of plaguing offshore wind on the East Coast are similar to what we're seeing in California? I mean, can you draw any parallels, or do you think there's some unique issues at play here?
Well, interestingly, the Yurok tribe did point to some things on the East Coast. I think challenges that the tribes specifically there were having, and they didn't go into much detail. I'm trying to still learn more about that. But in general, I think they want more authority over the lands that they and the waters that they say are their ancestral territory, meaningful decision-making authority early in the process rather than later in the process, which is generally what people said about what was happening on the East Coast with the tribes, that they were kind of brought in late and then were frustrated. But with regard to the rising costs and the problems that the East Coast projects have had, that's not something that California is facing at this point, because my understanding is primarily the drivers of the rising costs on the East Coast have been the stuff that has taken place since those contracts were signed, with really high inflation, with supply chain shortages, global events affecting those things. We don't in California have that yet because the contracts have not been signed. So the challenges, I think, are different here at this point.
Also, the chair of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission painted an optimistic picture of the industry's future during the agency's annual conference on Tuesday. Chair Chris Hansen said the NRC has, quote, learned a lot from recent industry setbacks, and he pledged to forge ahead on critical rules aimed at speeding new reactor deployments and increasing the capacity of the existing fleet. Hansen's comments come as the nuclear industry has notched a number of critical wins in recent weeks from the Biden administration, Congress, and nuclear regulators. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music at today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.